Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the many infallible proofs that Jesus showed and taught. But most of all, we thank you for his passion. We thank you for his passion, Father God, for without his passion, none of us would be saved. His passion gave him the desire and the strength and the courage and the power to stand on Calvary's cross and to die for our sins. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Been going through the list, trying to teach on Wednesday nights and preaching through a couple on Sunday mornings through our BBS. One of the lessons is the second one is on passion. It's on passion, not the passion of the world. Okay, when the passion of the world, we think of passion, we think of the passion fruit. We think of, you know, someone being compassionate. We talked about that this morning. We have our own word. The way we define compassion in America is different from biblical compassion. Okay? We show compassion by doing something nice for somebody. Oh, he's compassionate, or thinking something nice, or saying something nice. That's compassionate. But biblical compassion is different. Okay? Biblical compassion is different. It comes from the root word pasio, which is close related to the Greek word meaning path, okay, or to suffer. Biblical passion means to suffer, okay? It's a very powerful emotion in a person, okay? When we start talking about emotions and how our passions control us, and all of us in here are passionate about something, okay? Passions can be good or bad. They can be sinful or righteous. They can be overwhelming. Some of our passions are overwhelming, but they're totally out of control. We can't control them because the passion is doing what? It's controlling us. Now, if it's controlling us in a good way, that's a beautiful thing, okay? But if it's a passion that's controlling us in a negative way or a bad way, it's not healthy, okay? So when we read in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 3, we see in verse 3 it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." After his passion. What's he talking about? After his passion. What do we call, what do we, when we think of a passion week, okay? What are we thinking about? The week that Jesus Christ was suffered and was scourged and was humiliated and he was spit upon. A crown of thorn was pressed on his head. He was stripped down and given a purple robe. His passion. We call it Passion Week. The movie came out, The Passion of Christ, and many of us, myself included, we sit there and it was just blood and gore. It was just blood and gore. It was about 2.5 hours of blood and gore, but it was his passion, okay? It was his passion, and when we start talking about passion, we talk about something, a force that drives us. A force that drives us. Let me give you some quotes that I've read. It says, "Passion often separates success from failure." Okay? We've seen that in action. You see a person who's successful at anything, you better believe one thing. He's passionate about it. Amen. You're not going to be successful at nothing if there's no compassion. Or excuse me, if there's no passion. Okay? You see people start stuff, and they say, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to start working out, or I'm going to start whatever. Guess what you won't do? Without passion. You got to have some passion about it, okay? If you're going to be good at anything, you know, you got to have passion. And some of us going to turn on the TVs tonight. We're going to turn on TNT, and we're going to watch the Cavs, and we're going to watch the Warriors. And what you're going to see on that court? Passion. Okay? And what you're going to see in the stands, in the auditorium, is passion. Ain't nobody showing up without passion. You're not spending, you're not going to the game tonight without passion. And some of us still hurting. From the Cavs losing the first game. Because we have passion. Okay? Listen. Knowledge is valuable. But passion is what? Invaluable. You have all knowledge in the world about something. But if you don't have passion, guess what? You won't be good at it. Einstein said this. I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious. Passion. Paul was passionate. Paul says this, we know it. He says, and our brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellent speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Okay? What's this? Watch the passion word. But I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You weren't pulling Paul into no conversation about Donald Trump or the Republicans and the Democrats. He wasn't going to be out there talking about that kind of stuff. Yeah. He wasn't going to get sidetracked with that kind of stuff. Why? Because he had passion for what God called him to do. Passion means to be fervent, to be hot about something. Paul was teaching Timothy, and he's talking about why Christ died. Why did Christ die? He didn't die for us to be passionless people. And unfortunately, the church is full of people with no passion for things of God. And if someone comes out and preaches with passion or sings with passion, those that are unpassionate be like, oh. Why are you singing like that? Why are you preaching like that? God called us. He died for us to be passionate about him. Paul's teaching Titus. He says in Titus 2 and 14, he said, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous. Of good works. Zealous meaning passionate of good works. You know, a Christian without passion is like a river. Somebody finish that. Without any water. I'm a river. And no water. Be like somebody telling you they're a millionaire, right? I'm a millionaire. And no money. Broke. That's what a Christian is like, with no passion. And I think that's what the world looks at. When the world, people say, well, then the church is full of hypocrites. I don't think the world, and I'm looking at this thing, I don't think the world's saying, well, Christians is doing stuff that the world's doing. I think different of it now since I've been studying passion all week. I think the world is saying there's no way you can be a Christian because Christians are passionate. In the world, in your world, and your loved ones, and your friends, and your neighbors, and your co-workers, and your fellow students, and they all know what you're passionate about. They all know what you're passionate about. Okay? Listen. You ain't fooling the world. They look at us hard. They look at us hard. They study us. They students of Christians. You say you're a Christian. On your job, at your school, wherever. And the world starts looking at you, okay. I need to see passion. And you'll be hard pressed to see passion. You know, you talk about passion, and I get all worked up. Because we don't have passion. We don't have passion. Nobody want to sing. Nobody want to preach. Nobody want to pray. Nobody want to teach. No passion. We got sinful passions. Sinners ain't on Satan. Satan wants your passion. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tell y'all this straight up. You're going to use your passion. Okay? You sit here and say, well, you know, I got my passion on hold. It's on hold right now. No, it ain't. You going to use it for the devil? Or you going to use it for God? It's going to be used. It can't sit idle. It's too strong. It's too powerful. Passion is too powerful to do nothing. It's got to control something. Okay? Paul writing in Romans, said, for this cause, God gave them over to vile affections, vile passions. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. Passion. The word passion means to suffer. It's going to cause you to suffer, either for the devil or for the Lord. See, in the teachers and the preachers that tell you that there's no suffering. It'd be like going to the doctor, and the doctor say, "Well, your blood pressure's high, cholesterol level's high." Your numbers of your kidney numbers is high, and you're overweight, and he said, "What are you doing?" Well, you know, he said, "What's your diet?" Well, you know, I'm gonna give you most of this is mine. I'm eating ribs. I'm eating wings. I'm eating greasy food. I'm eating battered everything, Pepsi, cigarettes, and the doctor said, "Well, are you getting any exercise?" And he said, "No, as a matter of fact, I just bought a 70-inch TV and I bought a new sofa with the legs kick up." And now the fake doctor will say, "Well, you know, that's good. Keep it up." And that's what we're hearing a lot of times we come to church. Just keep it up, you're doing good. You're doing good. The real doctor, the doctor that cares about you, you know what he's gonna tell you. I ain't gotta go through that. You know what he's gonna tell you. Get your act together. Okay? And the real doctor, and the real man of God, the real preacher will say, listen, no passion, no Bible, no prayer, no fellowship, no praise, no worship, no Christianity, no salvation. Real doctor will tell you that. We get our passions, and when our passions control us, then we don't want to hear the truth. We don't want our passions confronted, because passions is running the show. You ever had anything on your ear? You ever been outside at a picnic or something, touch your ear. How fast are you to get it off? Why is the ear so sensitive? The ear is so sensitive. As soon as you feel something on your ear, you're flicking it. Okay? That's what Paul meant when he talked about to Timothy. He in 2 Timothy 3, 4 and 3 said to Timothy about passions. Now he's talking about passion. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own passions, after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Okay? What does that mean? See, they're gonna listen. The passions are saying, we want teachers who won't offend us. Okay? They want teachers who won't call their sinful lifestyle sin. Listen, who he think he is? Look at him. He got sin in his life. I'm not preaching my life. God didn't call me to preach my life.
Amen.
Okay? God didn't call me to come up here and preach your life. Because me, see, I wouldn't have nothing to say.
Amen.
See, God don't call preachers to preach their life. He called preachers to preach what? His life. Preach the word. That's the job of the preacher, is to preach the word. Not to preach my life. Y'all can pick it apart. Y'all can pick it apart. Okay? Unless Jesus is up here preaching. Okay?
Amen.
Sound doctrine. Healthy doctrine. Doctrine to aid your souls.
Amen.
See, we worry about the outside so much. We're about the outside so much. We got to get the soul right. Okay? The outward man going to perish.
Amen.
All right? All of us in here, little Joshua included, we all perishing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Y'all know I always tell you about the Vaseline. Y'all know I tell you about the Vaseline. And y'all know I tell you about the Vaseline because I don't want y'all to forget you're perishing. Okay? And many of us got lotion in the cars and stuff. You know? See, now our little kids, my little granddaughter, born with eczema. That's a constant reminder. You got it. Put that lotion on. Go to the lotion department and Marks. Lotion everywhere. Lotion. Just lotion everywhere. That ought to remind you, drying up. Turning back to dust. And they got super lotions now. You know, ain't gonna super lotion. There's lotion guaranteed to stop you from drying up. Listen, folks, listen. There's only one lotion guaranteed to keep you from drying up.
Amen.
The lotion of the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? That's it. That's it. See, folks they never want to hear. Now I can get caught up. Teddy and Kenny came in, so I gotta add an extra 10 minutes on the sermon. Thank you. So I know they probably said, man, he started early. I got y'all. But I was thinking about this, and I'm sitting here reading this stuff, and I'm like, are you serious? In Isaiah 30:8, and then you have to turn there, because just write it down and read it later. Now here's a man of God coming, and he's preaching to these people, and they don't want to hear it.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to hear it. So he's been given a commission by God not to preach his life, but to preach the word. And in Isaiah 30:8, it says this, now go, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. He's talking about the word of God. Go preach them the word of God, Isaiah. Okay? Now, he gives them a warning. And Isaiah's talking, he said that this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Look around. Look around. Children don't want to hear this anymore.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that's old. That's outdated, Grandpa. That's outdated, Uncle Keith. Nobody want to hear that no more. You know, we miming and popping and jumping around at our church and you know.
Uh-huh.
Nobody want to hear that. And that's what they say. This is the rebellious people. Lying children, children that would not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, seers were teachers, okay? Seers were a step above prophets. They told the future. He said, well, they would say to the seers, now this is what the children say to the seers, see not, see not, okay? And to the prophets' job was to preach the word of God. Thus say the Lord. And this is what they say to the prophet. Prophesy not unto us right things.
Wow.
This is the word of God. Y'all, is this fresh? Prophesy unto us right things. Excuse me. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Y'all, I'm saying this is in the word of God. This is the word of God. The people are telling the preachers, like they're doing today, prophesy deceits. Don't tell us the truth.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now watch verse 11. This is just, and I'm sitting here reading this stuff, and I'm like, who said this book was 3,000 years old?
All right.
Look what they say to the preacher. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. You know, don't be passionate. That word path means passion. Don't be passionate about what you do. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now what he's saying, just don't preach the word of God. Don't preach God to us. Just preach what we want to hear. Stay with me on this one. Stay with me. Wherefore thus say the Holy One of Israel. God's not talking. Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Now, trust in oppression. See, folks love being oppressed. Sin oppresses us. If you in sin, living in sin, that sin is oppressing you. Okay? And perverseness. A lot of us like living in perverseness. We live in a perverted world. But watch this. They telling the Lord, leave us alone. Let us do what we want to do. Now watch verse 13. Now y'all stay with me on this. I thought this was fascinating because I'm sort of a conspiracy theorist in a small way. Some of y'all probably say bigger than you think, Pastor. But watch this now. Therefore, this is God. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. Swelling in a high wall, though whose breaking cometh suddenly and at an instant. Anybody here familiar with that word breach? Okay? That word breach is a wall that holds back the water. Okay? Now, how many know the weekend that Katrina hit down in Louisiana? Okay? How many know what was playing that weekend? The biggest LGBT conference known to man was planned for that Monday, that weekend in Louisiana. Okay? And the breaches fell. The breaches fell. And New Orleans was consumed and destroyed, basically. Well, folks, I'm going to hear that. Stay in your perverseness. They don't want to hear the word of God. Anybody was able to pass you on? Yeah, you stay on the word. I'm just trying to set you free.
Amen.
That's my job. Okay? Because see, you're going to do something with that passion. Mm-hmm. You're going to do something with it. Now, if you don't use it for God, you're going to do something with it. And if you ain't using it for God, it's going to cause you problems. But don't get me wrong. If you use it for God, it's going to cause you problems. Because the word of God said many are afflictions of the righteous. See, some of us can't get blessed. Because I can't get blessed. Why? Because God knows your passions is out of control. And if he bless you, you're not gonna use it, you're gonna use it for the devil. And so we sit here and pray, God, I need a financial blessing. God, I need some help. God, but if he bless you, you're not gonna use it on your needs. You're gonna use it on your greeds. Okay? Give me a scripture, Pastor. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Okay? See, our lusts can't wait for that next blessing from God. We lived in it. This is why I sit here and preach it. Peter understood passion. He understood passion, and passion caused us to do some stuff, to live a certain way, okay? And we lived in our passions, and before it, nope, everybody that say lived in their passions once. That's right. Watch this now. Word passion, word lust. Paul, Peter's right now. He says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles did whatever they wanted to do. Because the Gentiles didn't have no God. They was lost. It was about God in the world. Remember them days? How many of y'all remember them days? We ain't that holy, are we? We don't remember the days when we were without God in the world. Okay, that's a good reason. We don't even want to go back. Don't even go back. The world calling us back. Come back home. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. That's how we live. Listen, I know I'm beating that down too much. I'm gonna get to the kinder, gentler part of this sermon. Listen, pastor, I want to increase my passion. That's a good question. Man, the pastors love that question. Pastors with passion. I want my passion to grow. How can I grow my passion? How can I grow my passion for the things of God? I want to be passionate. I want to be a passionate Christian. I want to love and serve God. How do I do it? How do I do it? How do I be like somebody was saying Apollos? And Apollos, the Bible says that he was a fervent in spirit. The Bible says Jesus was eaten up with passion for God. He was eaten up with it. He was eaten up with it. Came into the church, seeing how the church was running, tore that church up. Whipped it all up, turned all the tables over. And his disciple says, they remember that it was written, the zeal of the house have eaten me up. I want to be passionate. Here's how. I'm going to give you a couple steps. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to be passionate today after we live here. First, you evaluate your relationship with God. Evaluate your relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? This is the first Sunday we talk about it. Let a man examine himself. This is not, don't ask me to what do you think of my relationship with God? No, ask yourself. This is personal. How's my relationship with God on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being cold, 5 being lukewarm, 10 being hot. Where you at? Are you trending up or are you trending down? I like that. I see that all the time on the TV. Are you trending up? You know, trending down. Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Cold, lukewarm, or hot? Okay. Tolerable. That's what okay means. How's your passion? Okay. Is that acceptable? Okay, passion. Tolerable. It's okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. You go to a restaurant, you drop $60, and you come out, and somebody say, "How was your meal?" It was okay. You going back? No, you ain't dropping $60 at a restaurant for an okay meal. Okay, you just not. So when you evaluate your relationship with God, you don't want to tell him it's okay. You can say that about your marriage. You know, your husband ain't going to stop you from getting to heaven or going to hell. But your relationship with the God has to be better than okay. Okay? It has to be better than okay. Because, see, there's a church in the Word of God. We know about the church. It was lukewarm. It was lukewarm. See? And what did Jesus say? Spew out. I'd rather you be cold or hot. You know, I'd be out. A lot of people know, well, he's a pastor, he's a Christian, he's a chaplain, and they cuss around me and stuff. Oh, excuse me, sorry, pastor, didn't mean to cuss around you. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, because I'd rather you be cold. I'd rather know right away what I'm dealing with than have somebody faking. I know what I'm dealing with. Okay. Oh, Jesus writes to the other church. He said, I know your works. He said, I know your works. He said, I know your works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles or are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted nevertheless. See, we can do a whole lot of stuff on our own energy. Okay? We can do a whole lot of stuff. We can put on a big old show. We can wear our hats and our nice outfits and stuff. Man, put on a show. Got the robe on. That's a nice robe and everything. You know what? And being left. You know what left? The passion left. The passion left. Let's look at how I'm going to increase my passion. Pastor, I want my passion. I want my passion to be trending up. Go back to the cross. See, the cross ought to mean something to the believer. The cross ought to mean something to the believer because, see, you cannot be a Christian and not have passion for what God suffered. His suffering was for you. Yeah. We talk about Passion Week. That's the week Jesus Christ died. He suffered. He was spit on. He was scourged. He was cussed at. Gave him a purple robe. Put a stick in his hand. They speared him in the side. Mocked him while he was on the cross. Who did he do that for? He did it for us. He did it for us. So when you think about Calvary, you ought to think about your relationship with the Lord. That's Passion Week. That's Passion Week. Remember what he done for you. That ought to get you back on the right track a little bit. That ought to get you back on the right track a little bit. If that don't get you there, think about this. Think about Judgment Day. How about that? Think about the day that you will be judged for your sins. And because you have passion, okay? Passion will separate the goats from the sheep. Okay? Amen. Think about this now. This verse hit me real good here. It says this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the thrones of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. You know what that sheep from the goats mean? Those with passion, and those with no passion. A sheep has passion. Goat has none. And he shall set the sheep, the passion-filled ones, on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Now let me tell you something. Y'all listening to a former goat.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. A former goat. Okay? Because God's word has the power to turn a goat into a sheep. How about that? That's a great testimony. God's word can turn a goat into a sheep. Amen. Now I know they do that in the factories now, in the laboratories. They changing stuff and no, I ain't talking about that. Okay. You know, I know some people they transition and they turn it from going from being a man to a woman. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. That's not the devil. See, the devil has his laboratories too. Okay? See, God, Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? Old things have passed away. Behold, I am now passionate. I have a new nature. And this new nature loves the things of God, loves God's people, loves God's word, loves to be in God's house, and loves to pray, and loves to serve God and sing for God. Uh-huh. That's what this new nature has. The old nature don't have it. The old nature hated God, hated the things of God, hated the church, would burn it down. There was a time when we rolled by churches. When we was unsaved, we rolled by churches. We didn't even look at them. Now, many of us in here, if you are saved and you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can't ride by a church without looking at it. You just can't ride by a church without looking at it. Because that's who we are. And that church reminds us of who we are. I kind of appreciate it now that I mentioned that. They're on every corner. Now, right down the street, there's a church. Remind me who I am. God died for that church. Okay? God died for that church. He died for that church. Whether that church was teaching right or teaching wrong, whatever, God still died for it. He still died for it. That's why he says in Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And ain't none of us in here got a perfect wife. Okay? And ain't none of us got a perfect husband. When we all love them in their faults and in their ups and in their downs, when they whether they're serving you or not, serving God or not, God still died for them. Amen. Look inside and examine your motives. Why? I mean, we try to increase our passion. Why do I come to church? Why do I do anything for God's church? Listen. Passion is energy. Passion is energy. Purpose points us to heaven. Okay, purpose-driven life. Purpose-driven life won't get you to heaven. Having a purpose won't get you to heaven.
Right.
Having purpose is like having a car, but if you don't put no gas in it, it ain't moving. Okay? Passion is fuel. Passion is fuel that gets you where you need to go. Passion is fuel. Purpose is what the knowledge you have. And you can have a whole lot of knowledge. There's folks, whole lot of knowledge, no passion. Guess what? And they go to turn it on. You know, lady at our job the other day, she thought her battery's dead. They jump in her car, found out she had no gas. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. Purpose is fine, but it needs to be fueled by the power of God, by the passion of God, by the passion of God. You say, well, you know, that ain't the Bible says, you know, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Let me tell you what holds you to that cross. The passion of God holds you to that cross. Okay? You hold to the cross by praising God and worshiping God and giving honor and glory to God. That's what holds you to the cross. That's what holds you to the cross. I had nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You can't hold on to the cross without praise and without passion, without love and honor and praise and worship. You just can't. We sit around, no passion. Let me tell you something, folks. This is why I like doing altar calls. Because you got to understand this. This ain't easy living. Okay? People say, well, you know, you come to church and you join the church and you know what? Everything going to be all right. I think the Mississippi Mass Choir sang a song like that. Everything going to be all right. Yeah. If you got the right stuff. If you understand, just go ahead and go through some stuff. Here's Amos 6:1. Watch it, Amos. Amos 6:1. He says this. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Zion represents a universal church, the church of the world. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, okay, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Watch this now. They don't trust in God no more. They at ease in Zion. And they don't trust in God no more. They weren't, you know, the government going to be on. The government going to take care of this and program here and program here. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me take your eyes off man. And take a help now. We got this horizontal worship anymore. And we looking sideways for our help. We talked about it on Wednesday night. Where did our help come from? We ought to look. The Bible said we ought to look to the hills. From where our help coming from. And we don't like to look to the hills. We like looking sideways. Look to the hills. I want to love the Lord more. I want to be more passionate, Pastor. You keep going. You're helping me. Let me tell you. First of all, make sure your motives is right. Okay? I want to love the Lord. I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more passionate. I'm going to stop using that word compassionate. I want to be more passionate. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Now, how do I do that? Let me tell you something. There's prayers that God will answer. There are prayers that God will answer. There's some prayers God don't even hear. But there's prayers God will answer. You don't answer. Lord, I want to love you more. Whoa, who said that? Okay? Because that's the law. That's the word of God. In a nutshell, that's the word of God. Okay? Listen. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second one is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love people. Love people. Difficult people. People that don't look like you. People that don't smell like you. People that don't talk like you. You gotta love people. Why? For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Love the word of God. That's so hard. I don't read the Bible as much as I should. Okay? Don't. And then now I sit here and I'm preaching. You guys are preaching myself. I got to hear this too. I need to read the Bible more. Love the word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night, or all the day. Psalms 119:97. Love the lost. Here's where we got lost folks coming in. Lost folks coming in next couple weeks. Lost folks coming in. People that know the Lord. Lost ain't a bad word. We were once lost. Okay, we just sang Amazing Grace. I was lost. But now I'm found. Okay? Brother, my heart's desire into God for Israel that they might be saved. They might be saved. They might be saved. Listen. Here's one. I'm almost reluctant to say it. Give more. Okay? Give more. Give more. Remember I tell y'all the story? Family was going home. Father in the front seat, mother, father in the front seat, two kids in the back. Father complaining. Oh, the singing was lousy. Preaching was lousy. Church was hot. Going on and on and on and on and on and on to the break of dawn. And the one kid in the back seat said, well, Dad, what did you expect for a buck? Here's this woman who came to church on this Sunday. I call it church because Jesus was there. And it says, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she break the box. She break the box and poured it on his head. Something that was $20,000 in today's economy at $8 an hour. $20,000. Okay, now I'm not one of them preachers. Josh, don't get me. I'm not asking for a $54 million jet, okay? Uh-huh. Okay. We got a preacher this week came out. He's trying to get this church to buy him a $54 million jet. Now listen. Okay? I can get to the airport. I can take Uber or Lyft, or somebody can take me to the airport and get wherever I need to go. I don't need a $54 million jet. Uh-huh. All right?
Amen.
Listen. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Let me tell you something. Nothing you give to the Lord is wasted.
Amen.
Nothing you give to the Lord is wasted. Okay? And if your motives was right, your intentions was right, and maybe the church abused it and the preacher abused it, but if you gave it to the Lord, okay? Now, listen, I'm not saying that anyone should stay at a church where the preacher and the trustees and the administrators of the church is constantly abusing and messing up their money. I'm just saying, you give unto the Lord. Okay? Watch this now. And people complained about it. See, people will complain when you give to the Lord. And whether you're giving of your time or your finances or whatever, people are gonna, you're always going to have folks complaining. Okay? That's just the way we go. Okay? As they would say, that's the way of the world. All right. I'm going to help you. I hope I'm helping somebody get trending upward. I want my passion to be higher. I want to have that passion. I want to have the passion of Christ. Okay? Sing louder. Y'all see me up here. I'm not a singer, but I'm singing. I got a mic on. I'm singing. Sing louder. All right? I sit here and watch Jeremy, and he turn the page on the book, sit down, and stand up and sing. Somebody come up here and join him. And just say a little praise team. We ought to sing louder. We sitting down. We ought to, singing and sitting. Ain't nobody sitting at a Jimmy Buffett concert. Ain't nobody. I mean, when we was out and we was going to see the Parliament Funkadelic, wasn't nobody sitting down? We was Aqua Boogie, baby. Who was sitting down? Vernon wasn't sitting down. Nobody. Yeah, now he's singing for the Lord. We sit down. Oh, Lord. We just drag our prayerless, praiseless selves in the church and like, okay. Ain't nobody, tonight when they fill up that basketball arena, ain't nobody like, oh, Lord, we got to go to the basketball game. I mean, they there 2 hours early. They watching the shoot around. Yeah. I mean, they there buying hats and towels and... And I don't even know how anybody can pay money to see Draymond Green. I can't even turn it on when he on. Oh, he just get under my skin. All right. Associate with people with passion. Hang around some passion-filled people. Hang around some passion-filled people. You know, I mean, think about it. Hang around some people with some passion. I want some passion. Hang around people with some passion. Show me some passion. I used a verse earlier. Not forsaking assembling itself together as some in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and in so much the more as the day approaches. Some people with passion. People that love the Lord. That's what they did in the early church. The early church people hung together. We have a problem. We don't like the fellowship. We don't like the, you know, we just take passion. Take passion. Take some passion. Take some passion. Here's one. I may be my last one. Maybe. We talked about prayer earlier. Get your prayer life together. Pray more. Pray more. Pray more. Think about prayer. Jake had this on his fireman test. I thought about it when I looked at it. It takes 3 things to have a fire. Okay? 3 things to have a fire. You can't start a fire without 3 things. I ain't gonna ask Jake, he might have just checked the box and got it right. Fuel, oxygen, and a spark, right? Well, he's outside. He's still listening to me. Am I right? Did I get that one right? Fuel, oxygen, and a spark, okay? Now, the Bible is the fuel. The Bible is the fuel, okay? And the decision, our decision is the spark. You hear the word of God, you make a decision. I believe that. That's the spark, okay? Joshua believes that. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. That cost Joshua something. I promise you that. But prayer is what? If Bible is the fuel and our decision for Christ is the spark, prayer must be what? The oxygen. The oxygen. And when you have those 3 together, the Bible and a decision that I'm going to follow, a decision that I'm going to be more passionate, you have what it takes. Now all you need to do is say, put some prayer on it. Lord, set me on fire for the Lord. Set me on fire for the Lord. Give me a heart for God. Give me the desire for the things of God. Listen. 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 Jesus prayed all night. And he taught that the man ought to what? Always prayer. The man of God and the woman of God should always pray. Should always be praying. And then, I mean, we got to lay prostrate and we got to be on our knees, you know, and you come up into the pulpit and you get on your knees. And no, you just pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. You're riding down the street. You're on a certain town, side of town. You know somebody live on it. There's part of your church family. You just pray. See an ambulance, you pray. See a fire truck, you pray. See somebody getting pulled over, you pray. You do. You do. You pray. You pray. You pray. You pray. I thought I was done. Listen to sermons. Use them phones. I tell you guys all the time. Use them phones. Listen to sermons. Many of our TVs now have a little app on it where you can go right to the, what's the little YouTube? Is it YouTube? You go right on YouTube. You can go right on YouTube and say, and punch in Sermon of the Mount. And it'll come up on your TV. And you can watch sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. Yep. You know, your TV, you can do it. Okay? And you can just miss some of them Steinfeld episodes and stuff. And you listen to powerful sermons. The Word of God said we ought to listen to powerful sermons because sermons stir us up. Amen. They stir us up. Peter, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. How? Listen to some powerful sermons. Listen to some powerful sermons. And brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What is the word of his grace? Preaching messages on grace. Here, listen, you go on your phone. Most of us got these phones. I know. And I know we got these phones. All right, I know what they do. You Google sermon on whatever subject. You can Google sermon on passion. And 50 of them will pop up. And you can listen to sermons on passion. Whatever your sin is, you can listen to sermons on my sin. All right? Punch in sermons on my sins. Whatever it is. And that sermon will feed you. You got to get some word in you. Amen. If you want your passion to grow, you got to get some word in you. You got to get some word in you. Okay? Got to get some word. Open the Bible and read it. Listen to powerful sermons. Let me go back. Hang around some spirit-filled, passionate people. Get your prayer life together. Sing louder. Give more. Associate with people of passion. Love the Lord. Love the Bible. Love the lost. Go back to the cross. Think about Judgment Day. When you go in the bathroom, you see that jar of Vaseline or that jar of lotion. Think about Judgment Day. Think about one day I'm going to die. I'm going to die one day. Okay? How do I know that? It's pointed on the man who wants to die.
Amen.
And after that, the judgment. One day I'm going to die. One day I'm going to die. Remember passion. You going to use it for the Lord? Or you going to use it for the devil? You going to use it. Passion is too powerful to remain idle. Passion is powerful. Passion is powerful. Let me close with this. I meant to use it earlier. I don't know. I probably won't find it now. Okay. And I know I'm up here sweating. And I'm up here doing what I'm supposed to do as a preacher. How many of you know what a preacher's job is? To perfect the saints. Get y'all ready. Okay? Get y'all ready to meet the Lord. My job is not to entertain you.
Amen.
Okay? Because we're going to get entertained at 8:30 tonight. And if you're an Indians fan, 2:10. Indians in Minnesota, 2:10. And you don't get entertained. But you didn't come here to be entertained. It's a perfecting ministry. I know, I forget the preacher's name. He calls this ministry perfecting ministry. Where does he get that from? He gets it from the Word of God. It's the job of the preacher to get his people ready to meet the Lord. Period. Okay? Watch this now. Colossians 1, and I'm closing for real. I'm going over. This is that last 10 minutes for Kenny and Teddy coming in. It says in Colossians 1:27. Now watch this now. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now watch this. Here's Paul to the Colossian church. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay? Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. Let me tell you something. You can't strive for nothing without passion. Okay? You can't seek nothing without passion. You can't strive for nothing without passion. When the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he means you got to have passion to do it. If you don't have passion, you're not going to seek. If you don't have passion, you're not going to strive.
Amen.
You can't strive and seek and do God's work without passion. So Paul says, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why, Paul? Why, Paul? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's it. To entertain you. He's trying to get you home. Folks is barely getting here. Folks been sick all week, coming in here with canes and bone marrow transplants and all kinds of stuff. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Some of us got cancer going through our bodies now. Okay? I had two reports from the doctor. Hey, I need to call him. Call me a nurse to call me. I had blood work done. Hey, you know, your kidney number went up one. Okay. I understand. And they got another call me to get an MRI. I got here. You got a torn rotator cuff. Okay. No urgency there, huh? And some of y'all been to the doctor this week. And if the doctor went to the pharmacy, when you go to the pharmacy, he's telling you, hey, I hope you're getting ready. I hope you're getting ready. That's what, when you go get that prescription fit, that's what it means. I hope you're getting ready. That's what it means. Okay. He used to sing the song. I always think about it. When I listen to gospel, I think about the oldies we used to listen to, man. Some of them have some real meaning to them now. I don't know if y'all listen to them and y'all hear me quote them because we were raised on them, but there was a song out back in the day that said, people get ready. Because the train is coming. Come. You better have a ticket. But it ain't no regular ticket. This ticket got to be stamped in blood. Okay? You're not getting into it. It's not the same ticket you need to get into the game tonight. This is a whole different ticket. And it's got to be stamped in the blood. And not just any blood. Okay, don't listen to the guy say, well, down on the cross, it all took. Anybody could have done it. That's the same guy I asked for $54 million. I think he got a $54 million jet already. Okay, he got a bunch of them. That's this one guy. Now, I'm just telling you, this ticket got to be stamped in the blood. And not just any blood. It's got to be the precious blood of the Lamb, the sinless Lamb of God who died for our sins. Amen. The one that God sent, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Precious Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you.